Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and hello there. The MSS crew is back, and thanking you for joining us here once again in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. Today's date is Saturday, January 26, 2016, and this is your MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting yet again with bringing you another exciting and exhilarating internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Well, folks, we're back again, and so far we've gotten into a week of spring, and we've had some warm weather up here in PA, but, you know, some is all we're getting. I'm just glad that spring has sprung, and we have kissed old man winter goodbye. Why don't we get things rolling here tonight by allowing me to introduce the presenter for tonight's program. He just so happens to be one of our Canadian fan favorites here, Rotten Rick Spurgeon. Yep, this guy really doesn't need any introduction because he's been around since the dinosaurs have been roaming the earth. But, you know, that is what it is. But we all know him. We all love him, and we all love what he does, and that is producing some of the best OTR to hit the internet airwaves since, I don't know, maybe the 50s or 60s. I'm just going to ask if everyone could just please sit back, grab your favorite drinks and snacks, and enjoy the program. Rotten Rick, it's time for you to stink up the joint. The microphone is yours.
I love to listen to my radio. Gee, how it thrills me when I hear it go.
Good morning, kiddies.
That's when I think of you. When shadows fall at the close of the day, I turn on the switch and it starts into play. Say that you love me true.
And thank you, Luis, for your usual eloquent introduction. Tis I, Rotten Rick, back again. Well, he told you that, so let me tell you something you don't know, like maybe what's on for tonight. Tonight we're going back to our roots, in a way, of OTR, since we do tend to stray from that in MSS somewhat. So we're heading in the right direction. It's OTR, but it's not OTR. And I suppose you want me to explain that. Well, the bulk of the show tonight will be devoted to Jimmy Durante. And we are going to finish with another episode of Little Things in Life, because people like it. So, item number one. Now, explain why it's kind of OTR-ish. It also happens to be something I happen to like. You know, it's my show, I'm going to play what I want. So there. Jimmy Durante, of course, to most of us, is familiar. We've seen him on TV or movies, or certainly heard him on the radio. Now, for a batch of us, younger folks, maybe we didn't see him that much. We kind of had an idea about him if you were an old Huckleberry Hound fan. A character called Doggy Daddy was voiced by someone who did a pretty fair impression of Durante. Well, what we're going to hear is a biography, or at least more likely a salute, to him on his 50th year in showbiz. So this was made back in about 1971. You're going to hear some clips, obviously, from his vaudeville days, early radio days, stage days, etc. If you know his story, well, it bears repeating. If you haven't heard it, this is a case of a chap who really is an emblem for good humanity. As you will hear, the characteristics that he demonstrates are sterling. And to tell you about those characteristics is somebody else that I liked in radio. Well, actually in television. That's Walter Winchell. Now, I wasn't around when he did his Jurgen's Journal and other neat stuff like that in the radio days. Where I ran across him was in the late 50s with the original Untouchables TV show. And that was about 8 or 9 years old. But I was really intrigued by that staccato delivery of his. And the other thing, of course, for me, it was around 1930 vintage portrayals. And in those portrayals were wonderful antique vehicles, some beautiful 1930-ish saloon cars. Like, wow, you want comp saloon cars over here? Anyway, you know what I mean. Them big old things. And even better, there were occasional glimpses of radios. A few of the old consoles, but quite often a few cathedrals would appear, you know, in the background of the stories. So that's what got me interested in it. So what we're hearing is OTR in the fact that it does involve OTR stars, not OTR, and that, strictly speaking, this isn't an OTR program. So, shall we get started with this? And I hope you're going to enjoy this.
This is Walter Winchell, and this is the legend of Jimmy Durante.
I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things. Stop the music, stop the music. Why should I sing the song and make it popular? Now what a day, what a day, what a day. Why the bells and the birds. What a day, what a day, what a day. Why the flowers are blooming, the couples are spooning. Let me hear that.
This is a love letter from the American people and all the ships at sea to one of their favorite sons, James Francis Durante, affectionately known as Jimmy by all of us in the 50 star-spangled states. Jimmy was born on New York's Lower East Side, between the Bowery and the East River, next door to Chinatown, not far from Broadway, where his delightful way with a gag or a song won him the title Mr. Show Business. Jimmy once told me that where he lived, most of the people never left it. Their whole world was New York's Lower East Side. The birthplace, by the way, for many other showbiz and international greats. Irving Berlin, Eddie Cantor, Jimmy Cagney, George Gershwin, and one-time public enemy number one, Lepke, the president of Murder Incorporated. It was a tough place to be brought up, Jimmy said. Every time I went down my street, the other kids taunted me with, look at that big-nosed kid. All through my life, even when I am out on the stage laughing and kidding around about my nose, I'm never really happy about it. I made up my mind when I was a kid never to hurt nobody, no matter what. This became Jimmy Durante's credo.
Even when things go wrong, why, you feel better. You even look better. I'm here to tell you that you'll be a go-getter. Now the way that you shake my hand. You know, folks, now that I'm back in Hollywood, them NBC bosses said I gotta be glamorous. So I went to a plastic surgeon. I had it enlarged.
When Jimmy was 10, he left school to help support his family. He ran errands, he peddled newspapers, and for a time, he was a truck driver delivering coal. His devoted mother and father often went without a new dress or a suit and the other luxuries that poor people go without. So determined were they that their Jimmy learn how to play the piano. Jimmy's piano maestro, however, wanted him to play the classics, such as Poet and Peasant, the wonderful music of Beethoven, Brahms, and Bach. But Jimmy had ragtime in his fingers and ragtime in his heart. At 16, they were calling him Ragtime Jimmy. Thank you. 16 and a half, Jimmy was the life of the party at all the neighborhood weddings, the East Side bar mitzvahs, and the confirmations. When he was only 17, he earned $25 a week, toying with the 88 at cabarets from 8 p.m. until 5 in the morning. His stage at that time was in a gay spot, featuring 5-cent beer at Coney Island, where the chorus girls were so brazen and so sinful, they lifted their long skirts high enough so you could see their ankles. Durante's toe-tappy ragtime beat became the talk of New York. He was booked at $50 a week to star at the Alamo, the hottest spot in Harlem. It was populated wall-to-wall from midnight to sunup by the stay-up-lates from Broadway and the Social Register. We all fell in love with him. Then, back to the Lower East Side at the most popular nightclub in Chinatown, the after-theater rendezvous for such celebrities as Al Jolson, Peggy Hopkins Joyce, she was New York's highest-paid showgirl at the time, and Wilson Meisner, the great wit and playwright, who once said, "Always be nice to the people you meet going up, because they are always the very same people you meet on the way coming down." That was Ragtime. Now here's Jimmy with some razzmatazz.
Now razzmatazz. I like a tune that's got plenty of jazz. Nothing too smart and nothing too sweet. Something catchy that'll tickle my feet. Now razzmatazz is something to hear while I'm out dancing or drinking a cheer. Can't tell you why I love what it has. A razz, a razz, a razz, a matazz. Now I'm not a square, in fact I think I'm plenty hip. Cause when I hear jazz, brother I flip. When crazy, I think it's great. Let me act at 88 and I'll demonstrate. A razzmatazz. I like a tune that's got plenty of jazz. Nothing too smart and nothing too sweet. Something catchy that'll tickle my feet. Now razzmatazz is something to hear while I'm out dancing or drinking a cheer. Can't tell you why I love what it has. A razz, a razz, a razzmatazz. And when the band gives out, I stand right up and shout, a razzmatazz. Let me at that piano. Please notice that I'm only using two hands, a one-man duet. And if you're listening, I tell you, start packing. A passage that came to me this morning while plucking a goose. A razzmatazz. Say, I love a tune that's got plenty of jazz. Can't tell you why I love what it has. So let me hear that rhythm and give me a beat. And I defy anyone to hold their seats with a razz, a razz, a razzmatazz.
During Jimmy's long run in Chinatown, he entertained the Broadway stars after their own curtains went down. John Barrymore, Mae West, playwright Eugene O'Neill, Broadway's number one leading lady, Lillian Russell, and her favorite gentleman friend, Diamond Jim Brady. He was the biggest spender and the biggest tipper along the Street of Dreams. Diamond Jim Brady invented giving his favorite ladies of the chorus diamond bracelets and other costly gems from Cartier and Tiffany's. Mr. Brady also invented putting $100 bills under the girls' dinner plates. One of Mr. Brady's cronies one day shook his head and said, "Jim, it's all over town about the way you give the girls those $100 bills. The boys along Broadway and down on Wall Street are calling you a sucker."
to which Diamond Jim went into the Broadway history books with this remarkable remark. You know, it's an awful lot of fun being a sucker when you can afford it.
I wouldn't say I was handsome. I wouldn't say I was cute. I'm not very tall. Gosh darn it all. It's kind of hard to put it in words. You know, the other night I made a blind date the same way, over the phone. I said, hello. She said, hello. Come right over. When I got there, she took one look at my nose and said, you sure must have hurried. You forgot to hang up the phone. It's kind of hard to put it in words. It's not that I want to be mysterious. Honest, I'm not trying to stall. Believe me, I'm really quite serious. I'm just an in-between rascal, that's all. I wouldn't say I'm fascinating. Too bad I'm not elucidating. I wouldn't even try. When we meet, she'll know why. It's kind of hard to put it in words. Yes, sir, it's kind of hard to put it in words.
When the Kaiser submarines were sinking unarmed great ocean liners, such as the Lusitania, killing thousands of British, French, and American passengers, the United States went to war. So did Jimmy Durante, just out of his teens. He enlisted for the duration as a soldier. But the U.S. Army decided that Jimmy Durante could best serve our country by keeping his comrades in stitches with his jokes, punctuated by his fractured 4- and 5-syllable words.
Everybody's trying to figure out what's wrong with the country. Well, I'm proud to say I've solved the case. Cause after dilly-dallying, shilly-shallying, I've reached a concussion. The state of Arkansas is in the wrong place. Why nobody ever thought of it before, I'll never know. It's a simple little move, but what improvement it'll show. Move the state of Arkansas to Nebraska. Then move Nebraska to Idaho. Then move the state of Idaho to Alaska. And move Alaska to Ohio. You know, it took a lot of time and brain work. See the wrinkles on my brow? Why, there are a lot of little details, but I'm working on them now. Move Ohio to Nevada, it's as plain as ABC. Then we'll move Nevada, where our Kansas used to be. We'll have a better nation, just by changing the location of the state of Arkansas. Let me show you what I mean, folks. If you move Arkansas, you gotta move it someplace, right?
Right!
And if you move it someplace, you gotta move up with someplace to someplace else, right?
Right!
And if you move up with someplace else or someplace else, you gotta move up with someplace else or some other place else, right?
Right!
Wrong!
I always admire a guy who speaks his mind. After that, I'd move New Mexico to Texas. Texas to Pennsylvania. Then I'd take the state of Missouri and move Missouri to... Hello? Don't get mad, Mr. Truman. I'll put it back. Yes, we'll have a better nation just by changing the location of the state of Arkansas.
The First World War over, Jimmy returned to show business and wowed them with...
When I was born, my looks were only average. A situation I said I'd adjust. To be different, I suppose, I said I'd make my nose pikes peak or bust. I massaged it every day to make it muscular. Every morning, every night, it was a must. I'd work so hard I'd tremble. I vowed it would resemble pikes peak or bust. Why, at one time I had a nose that looked like a mosquito bite. And look at it today. I'm proud of it. If a mosquito bit me on the nose, it would take me 2 hours to find out where to scratch. Why, the fellows in my gang were just a little bit jealous. Why? Because the neighbors used my nose for a clothesline. But things were going great, cause at the age of 8, I'd already added 2 inches to my nose line. You gotta wait, you gotta have ambition. Be patient, all you need is faith and trust. I sing this obligato, give the world my motto. Pikes Peak or bust. And I want you to know my schnozzles brought me in contact with some very interesting people. One day while strolling through a field of alfalfa, I tripped and buried my face right into the ground. And what happened? John L. Lewis stuck his head out of a gopher hole, pointed to my nose and said, "Anything that digs that deep has got to belong to the Union." So after years and years, I've reached the pinnacle. I don't want to take a bow, but yet I must. You can do the same. All you have to do is aim at Pike's Peak or bust. Yes, sir. Pike's Peak or bust.
Broadway, the longest short street in the world, where the lights are red on the way going up and green on the way going down. The Hotel Astor dining room, where George M. Cohan wrote over there on the back of a menu the number one song during the First World War. The melody came from Taps. Congress gave Mr. Cohan a medal for writing it in your name. The Ziegfeld Follies stage door, where the most glamorous showgirls met their dates from the upper world and the underworld. Debonair Mayor Jimmy Walker, the most popular man in New York, until his colors dipped and his best false friends deserted his sinking ship. Jimmy Walker, always a friend to the many who were only a pal to him. Texas Guinan, she sold more liquor than any speakeasy in town and never drank a drop. The Hot Seat Totsy, where gangster Legs Diamond shot a man dead and then killed his own sweetheart, an 18-year-old chorus girl, so that there would be no witness to the murder. Ethel Merman, she auditioned for Jimmy at the swanky Momart over the Winter Garden when she was Ethel Zimmerman, and Jimmy gave Ethel her very first break. Mary Martin of Weatherford, Texas. She stole the opening night applause from three big stars in her very first Broadway hit with Cole Porter's showstopper, My Heart Belongs to Daddy. After Mary's 11th encore, to deafening shouts of bravo, it was witty Oscar Levant who mumbled, "What a night for jealousy." Jimmy Durante, the only Broadway guy nobody ever knocked. Broadway, the street of dreams. Jimmy's Broadway and mine. Broadway 1923, Jimmy's own nightclub, the Club Durante, where Lou Clayton joined Jimmy's act. Jimmy insisted on Lou's name getting the top billing and his own name last. Thus, Clayton, Jackson, and Durante. The nation's number one vaudeville theater at the time was the Palace, where Broadway meets Times Square. The headliner at the Palace one week was Fanny Brice, who was suddenly stricken and could not perform. The man who booked the Palace needed a surefire act to take her place. How about Clayton, Jackson, and Durante? No, he said, the Palace plays only established stars. Those guys are strictly sawdust entertainers. Sawdust entertainers indeed. But curtain time was only an hour away, and Mr. Palace had to take them on. Jimmy, Eddie, and Lou got 9 encores and 19 curtain calls. The unwanted sawdust entertainers were booked back at the Palace 4 and 5 times a year, and they sang songs like,
"I love you, love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. Ah, baby, mine. I want you, want you, want you, want you, want you, want you, got you. Baby, tell me, what are you playing? Know how to get.
The real big time at last. The two-a-day. Not the four and five a night in the cafes. The big time. The big money. And the big break. For Clayton Jackson and Durante, the Broadway bright lights were now their personal rainbows. Offers poured in day and night. Their combined weekly salary was now over $10,000. After Jimmy's big hit in Showgirl, he starred in Red Hot and Blue with Ethel Merman and Bob Hope. Here's Jimmy and Bob on Hope's radio show 20 years later.
We wish there was something we could do for other boys. No wonder fellas in this town walk around with a great big frown.
They're jealous of the boys with the proboscis. They beg for dates with all the chicks, but we have to beat them off with sticks.
No one likes the boys with the proboscis. Our secret is variety. That's what we found.
My nose turns up.
And my nose turns down.
We got an awful problem. Every time we get too close, we lock bumpers.
You'd think this life would make us smile, but it gets boring after a while.
Don't blame us if we sit around and mope.
Now analyze our assets from our profile to our chassis.
I've got so much more than Gregory.
I've got so much more than Lassie. If you've got a sweetie and you plan to elope, beware of the boys with the proboscis. Yes, sir. Beware of the boys with the proboscis.
And now here's Jimmy with his longtime friend, Eddie Cantor.
Jimmy, go right into If You Knew Susie, all right?
All right.
Go ahead.
If you knew Susie like I do.
Susie kissed me, and she burned down, think of it. You knew Susie, my God, right? I don't know how
you. And here is Jimmy romancing Sophie Tucker.
Would you give up that millionaire oil man if I told you that you could have me?
If you're really sincere, oh, my darling, my dear.
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Holy goodness. What about these cover girls that you have around you? Are you going to get rid of them immediately?
Say the word and you know all the others must go. Cause I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
When the loves of the century are written, Jimmy, our names will be on top.
Come here, Sophie, please.
Don't tease. Jimmy, after all these years, this is the first time you've ever kissed me.
I wanted you to know that you haven't lived in vain.
Jimmy's tremendous triumph in Red Hot and Blue won a 5-year contract in Hollywood. Not, however, for Clayton Jackson and Durante. MGM wanted only the star of the act, Jimmy. But so loyal was Jimmy to Eddie and Lou that he kept them on the payroll. His first MGM picture, by the way, was a knockout, The Phantom President, with George M. Cohan, the Mr. Broadway and the Mr. Show Business, when Jimmy Durante was a Mr. Nobody.
Some people think they are happy with all of their treasures untold. But I don't need treasures, for I've got a pal whose word, all its weight and its gold. Here it is, folks. My
song. Together we get along. We stick close together, whatever the weather may be. And when I'm feeling blue and I don't know what to do, I sing a few strains of my ink-a-dink-a-doo. Ink-a-dink-a-doo, a-dink-a-dee, a-dink-a-dee. Oh, what a tune for crooning. Ink, a dink a dee, a dink a doo, a dink a dee. It's got the whole world spooning. Eskimo bell up in Iceland, Oregon. They've made their own paradise, land singing. It goes ink, a dink a dee, a dink a doo, a dink a dee. Simply means ink, a dink a dee, a dink a doo.
After Jimmy's Hollywood triumph, he came back to Broadway to star in a second-rate musical called Strike Me Pink. It was during this run that Jimmy, for the first time, was heard on a coast-to-coast radio show.
I'll get up and do my strut away in my cutaway. It's just a hop away, a slide away, and a scram away. And then you skitter right down and you go to town with a twist away. Now when you strut away, this way it's a holiday. You know, I was dancing a strut away with a girl named Suzette when she accidentally backed into a hot radiator. Zip, crep, Suzette! Why, if the dance is gonna change crazy now. You know, a beautiful girl invited me up to her apartment to teach her this dance. I wasn't in the apartment 10 minutes when who walks in? Her husband. Kind of perturbed. He said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm putting on my white tie. I'm putting on my top hat. I'm putting on my top coat to make my getaway. Do the strut away. Did you ever have the feeling that you wanted to do the strut away? The hop away. The spam away. And then you skid right down and you go to town doing the strut away. The hop away. The spam away. Once more. You know, folks, I'm happy to tell you that I just brought a brand new convertible coupe. What a car. What a car. You push a button, the top stays where it is, but the bottom falls out. So what did I do? I did the crawl away, not the strut away. Did you ever have the feeling that you wanted to do the strut away? The hop away. The scram away. And then you skitter right down and you go to town doing the strut away. The hop away. Just spam away once more.
Ten years later, Jimmy and a talented newcomer named Gary Moore teamed up for radio. The Durante Moore Frolic was a Friday night must for a long, long time.
Why, James, haven't you heard? I've got a new job.
You've got a new job? Well, tell me, where is your new job located, Junior?
Well, my new job is located in a vacant village in the valley in Vermont called Jamestown Jetty, Jimmy.
Who do you wait for in your new job at a large and lucrative local laundry in a vacant village in the valley in Vermont called Jamestown Jetty, Junior?
Well, I work with a dirty shirt and skirt squirter at a large and lucrative local laundry in a vacant village in the valley of Vermont called Jamestown Jetty, Jimmy.
What do you do in your new job at a dirty shirt and skirt squirter at a large and lucrative local laundry in a vacant village in the valley in Vermont called Jamestown Jetty, Junior?
Why, I'm a slip ripper and girdle gripper with a dirty shirt and skirt squirter at a large and lucrative Jimmy?
You mean to tell me you're a slip ripper and girdle girder and a dirty shirt and skirt squirter and a large and lucrative lonely town and a vacant village in London?
Yes, slip and slip, rubber and girdle grip with a dirty shirt and skirt square and a large and lucrative local London in the vacant village with Alice Margot James on Jimmy, Jimmy.
I hope he tears a tonsil.
Suddenly, to the puzzlement of us all, something went wrong. Jimmy Durante, the man who started each day with a song, suffered one tragedy after the other. He lost five members of his family in 1 year. It was, he said, like a kick in my heart. He just could not get himself to go out on a stage and laugh it up anymore.
Oh, it's a long, long while from May to December. But the days grow short when you reach September. When the autumn weather turns the leaves to flame, one hasn't got time for the waiting game. Oh, the days dwindle down to a precious few. September, November, and these few precious days I'll spend with you. These precious days I'll spend with you.
Jimmy Durante, another true American story. From newsboy on New York's Lower East Side to ragtime Jimmy, the piano player in the Coney Island Saloon at $25 a week, to $25,000 and more per week in Las Vegas, Miami Beach, on television, and in Hollywood. Not long ago, Jimmy's many friends celebrated his 50 years in show business. This was my affectionate embrace. After 50 years, most of the time as a star, on the big time and in the big money, you would think that Jimmy Durante was a wealthy man. The merciless truth is that he is not. But if you count a man's blessings and his countless friends, Jimmy Durante is the richest man in the world. Why isn't he rich like a bank? Because, as everyone knows, he is the softest touch in show business. You all know that. But what few of you know is this. Jimmy Durante has given away over $1 million, not a cent of which was deductible. Jimmy, as in show business and as in racing, the horses are not the only thoroughbreds. Thank you.
Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you. If you're young at heart, for it's hard you will find to be narrow of mind. If you're young at heart, you can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh when your dreams fall apart at the seams. And life becomes exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or on its way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart? For as rich as you are, it's much better by far to be young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you derive just by being alive. Now here is the best part. You have a head start if you are amongst the very young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you derive just by being alive. Now here is the best part. You have a head start if you are amongst the very young at heart.
There are three great loves in Jimmy's wonderful life and heart. His wife, Marge, their precious baby daughter, Cece, and Mrs. Calladash.
Good night. Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night. What more is there to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Sorry for what we were saying, and we could think could do. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
The Legend of Jimmy Durante.
Well, there's a man who's on my list of someone I want to meet someday. Now, maybe it's my imagination, but when you listen to those clips, particularly the ones with Jolson, somewhat with Hope, and Durante on his own. Obviously there was rehearsal involved in the things that were recorded, but don't you get the impression he in particular simply enjoyed what he was doing? He would do it for himself, for an audience of one. He didn't care. He just did it because he loved it. At least to me it sounds that way, and it shines through. How many years later? 70, 80 years later? I also noticed in looking at pictures, again, my impression, but it looked to me like there was a sparkle in his eye. Maybe it's just my imagination again, but he certainly had a broad, bright smile. So put that all together with what you've heard about his life. It really makes a sterling picture, doesn't it? So let's move on to some sterling sound. As you know, due to some requests and my own forcefulness, at least for the time being, we're going to make a regular feature of Little Things in Life. That was the last effort of Peg Lynch in the Ethel and Albert style of programs. Here she teams up with Bob Dryden, who we heard a lot of in CBS Radio Mystery Theater for us latecomers into OTR. This is an episode that I still find rather believable in a stretched version of what life is like for most of us. Maybe that's why I've had people tell me they like it. So let's move into the fourth chapter in the series. We got a lot more of them too, so if you like it, you're going to love it. If you don't like it, maybe you'll learn to love it. Anyway, here we go with Bob Dryden, Peg Lynch, and Little Things in Life.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Dan Rolon, America's leading Rolon antiperspirant.
More coffee, dear?
Oh, no, thanks. I've got to get to work.
So And look at this picture of the Alaskan pipeline. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. Mm. By the way, did I tell you that we're invited to Evie and Fred Saturday night? It's their 15th wedding anniversary. They're having a party.
Oh, darn it. Look, I've got the newspaper in the butter and then on my tie. All right, give me that paper napkin.
Here. Remember our 15th anniversary? We went to a dinner and...
Look at it.
Well, rub it, dear. Maybe it won't show.
It shows. It shows.
Oh,
I'll have to go change my tie and I'm late as it is.
Oh, honestly. Hello? Hi, Evie. Thank you. No, he hasn't remembered, and I've dropped every hint that I can think of. No, this time I'm not going to call his secretary and have her remind him. I mean, if he can't remember our anniversary just once, you know, really, you would think that after all the years we've been married.
Hey, Joe, did you find it yet? It should be on the second shelf.
Hey, excuse me, I was wondering if I could get somebody to wait on me.
Oh, yeah, sure, just a second. Joe, I need that power drill, number 38692. Oh, and tell Harry, put that load of peat moss in the panel truck out and back. Okay, mister, what's yours?
Are these the only garbage cans you have?
Yep, come in all sizes, all colors, all shapes.
But they're plastic.
Right.
Well, do you have anything a little better?
Well, what do you mean better?
Well, actually, this is going to be an anniversary present.
A what?
An anniversary present.
For your wife.
You're right.
Well, I think you're in the wrong department. Over there in that section, we just got in some French imported casseroles, porcelain line. And then we got everything electric. You can think of rotisseries, broilers.
No. She's got all she needs of those things. No, I'm looking for a garbage can.
For your wife.
Yeah.
For your anniversary.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I said, these right here come in all sizes and shapes and colors, red, blue, yellow, green.
Yeah, but they're plastic. I want something better.
Yeah.
My wife has a plastic one. She doesn't like it. She says what she'd really like someday is a really,
really
nice garbage can.
Right, yeah. Well, I don't exactly know what...
metal one. The kind with a foot pedal?
Yes. Golly, I don't know. Most people want the plastic ones these days. See, they're easier to keep clean. They don't rust.
My wife wants a metal one with a foot pedal.
Well, we don't have anything on the floor like that. Let me check with the supply department.
Oh, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, Harry! You know if we got any metal
Could
garbage...
Could you please wait on me? I've been standing around for nearly 15 minutes just trying to buy this flashlight.
Well, I'm sorry I don't work here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. I know what you mean. Hardly get anybody to wait on me either. I guess hardware stores are always pretty busy.
Well, they ought to put on more help. They can certainly get help, I should think, with all the unemployment these days.
Yeah, you'd think so. Well, the fellow waiting on me ought to be free pretty soon, so you can nab him.
Well, thank you. I'll stay right by you, then.
I'm trying to get an anniversary present for my wife.
Oh, isn't that sweet? I wish my husband would remember our anniversary once in a while. What are you getting her?
A garbage can. Well, not one of these plastic things. I'm trying to get a really nice one, an attractive garbage can.
Uh-huh.
A metal one. You know, the kind with a foot pedal?
This is an anniversary present, you say?
Yeah.
For your wife?
Right. She's always wanted the kind with a foot pedal so the top closes down so the garbage doesn't show.
Uh-huh. Nice.
And I like to get her things she's not expecting. In fact, she thinks I've forgotten our anniversary. This will be a real surprise.
Oh, yes, I think it will be. It's certainly different.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
May I say something? I know I'm a total stranger, but speaking purely from a feminine point of view, I think that for an anniversary present, well, forgive me for interfering.
No, go ahead.
Your idea for a gift is very original, but perhaps a garbage can isn't, well, perhaps something more romantic.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I tell you, my wife likes to get things she wants. She likes practical gifts.
Well, goodness, I hope so.
Well, here we are. What do you know? The last one. Enamel steel. There's a diffumer in the lid, and the insert liner is plastic, and it has the foot pedal, 1850.
Great. I'll take it. Could I get a gift wrapped?
Yeah, well, ask the girl at the desk over there.
Oh, thanks. And please, take care of this lady. She's been waiting.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Oh, and happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you.
Say, did you know he was buying that garbage can for his wife for their anniversary?
Yeah, I sure like to see her face when she rips off the paper tonight. My goodness.
Oh, my goodness. So would I. Ah,
That was a very good dinner, dear.
As usual.
Thank you.
Something go wrong today? You seem very quiet ever since I got home.
No, everything's fine. I'll get you a coffee and dessert right
now. No, wait a minute. Stay right there. I picked up something today, and I'd like to get your opinion before I keep it.
All right, why don't you finish up this dab of broccoli? I have more leftovers, and there's hardly enough to save here anyway.
Close your eyes.
What? Oh.
Okay. Now, open them. Happy anniversary. Oh. You thought I forgot, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Oh, good heavens, it's so big. What is it?
Well, I think I'd better set it on the floor here.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, unwrap it.
You are a dickens. I have no idea. None at all. I really have
no
idea what
you
wanted.
Yes, sir. Well, now, it's nothing great, but you said we were supposed to economize and give practical gifts.
Of course. That's right. I just can't imagine what this could possibly be. What is it?
What does it look like?
He looks like a garbage can.
That's what it is. You like it? Remember how you always said you'd like a really good one with a foot pedal?
Uh-huh.
I went to 4 hardware stores to get this. Everybody seems to be buying the plastic ones. And this is the last one the Casson Hardware had. The last one.
No kidding.
Yeah. Now, it's made of enameled steel, and there's a defumer under the lid. Then, it has an inside liner, which is plastic. But that's better, dear, because the clerk said it's easier to keep clean.
Oh.
And the foot pedal.
Uh-huh.
Go on, try the foot pedal. Why don't you step on the foot pedal again and look inside?
What?
Maybe you've got some built-in garbage.
Honey, what is it?
Well, the can was so big, I thought I'd get you a tiny present, too.
Oh, a little red velvet box. What is it? Let me guess, it isn't a ring. Is it a ring?
It's a ring. It's the ring. Go ahead, open it.
Oh. Oh, no. Oh, you did.
Yeah.
It can't be. Is it an emerald? A real emerald?
Well, it better be. Yeah, here, let me put it on.
Diamonds and emeralds surrounded. Oh, no. Oh, honey, but we can't afford things like this. I mean, it's wonderful of you, but no.
This is your engagement ring, the one I always promised you.
Look, I've always loved the one you did give me. You're the one who has always worried about it. Look, I always wear it.
Where?
Here.
Oh, point to it.
Oh, stop.
I better get a magnifying glass.
Cut it out, honey. I love it, but this ring is going back, honey. Really, Daddy.
No. Just, you're keeping it. Now, look,
beautiful.
I have been saving for that ring since our wedding day. I've had a special account. Gradually build it up a bit.
You've been saving for this ring for 20 years?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel so ashamed of myself. I thought you forgot the anniversary. I feel just awful, honey. I was so nasty all through dinner.
No, you weren't nasty at dinner. I shouldn't have teased you by letting you think I forgot. Like the ring?
Oh, I like the ring, honey. I love it. I love you.
I'm kind of crazy about you, too.
Oh, the ring is just so beautiful, honey. Where is it? Where is it?
What?
Where's the ring?
You haven't lost it already.
I just had it here, dear. Now, can't be lost. We've been sitting right here.
Yeah, I know, but...
Don't pick up anything. Don't throw it.
Look here. I want you to have one special place for that ring.
I will, dear.
None of this putting it in sugar bowls leaving it on the sink somewhere while you wash your hands or hiding it so well you can't remember where you put it.
Now, it has to be here. Don't throw out anything. It has to be here.
We'll be going through this for the rest of our lives.
The following is a paid dramatization.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair, me with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
The Little Things in Life has been brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This is the Serial Network.
Well, now that I'm not using my trusty stopwatch that we had in broadcasting school, I'm not sure that we've actually filled the whole hour. We've come relatively close. But in case we haven't, maybe I should chatter just a bit to get Luis over here. He may be using his stopwatch, and we don't want to have him come out of breath. The man is doing well. He's looking good. And he's into his initial stages of his new career and getting very close to his marital career. So we got to be careful. Treat him delicately. Most of us know what it's like to approach these things. Okay, Luis, does that give you enough time? You don't have to trip over anything? Okay, and you're not using a script. But come on, after how many years you've been doing this, you know what to say. So, let's see. What we do now? Oh, yeah, we ask him to say it. I'm not going to tell you what he's going to say because you probably have it as well memorized as he does. Let's find out. Anyway, in the meantime, thank you for listening. I hope you had fun with it. And we'll be back in a few weeks, I guess. Stay well. And as always, good listening, good night, good luck. And after our closing theme, and Louise, goodbye.
I love to listen to my radio. See how it thrills me when I hear it go. Someday you'll hear it too.
Okay, Rick. Thanks a lot, and great work as usual. You do your thing, now it's time for me to do mine, and that is wrapping things up and shutting things down for this week's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. But as always, as usual, and I will say it again and again, don't worry, we will be back again. All you need to do is come back and join us. You know where, you know how. And you know when. If you have any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, please address them to Miguel Amaro. He can be found at michaemeli@earthlink.net. That's MIKEAMELI@earthlink.net. Yep, you know, don't gripe to me. I'm not the director. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish for as long as you wish. But just remember, be nice to one another. Otherwise, you know, Rotten Rick is going to throw some of his toxic waste your way, and I won't be there to help you. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, we would like to wish you a happy Easter weekend, a great night, and goodbye.